This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
I don't have any fish. You do now. I call that one Shrek and the other Fiona. That Shrek is a rascally devil. Ka-ching! Look at the time. I guess you better be going.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Madison Malone Kircher. And you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And speaking of the internet, you can now find us on it because we officially have a Twitter account. Don't ask why it took us this long to get one.
Shout out to my friend Kelly, who was like, wait, your show about Twitter doesn't have a Twitter account. And I was like, well, when you put it that way, Kelly.
What, we're never going to make a TikTok account. I'm so sorry, despite how much we talk about it. But on Twitter, you can find us at ICYMI_pod.
We figured this would be an easier way to get in touch with us and interact with us on Twitter, which so many of you have been doing, which is great, using our hashtag. But honestly, we kept forgetting to use the hashtag. I myself have used the wrong hashtag at least twice.
I have simply left it off of my tweets about the podcast to the concern of our producers. So now if you need us, call us, beep us at ICYMI_pod.
In other Twitter news, a callback, Rachel Stone, who you might remember from a few episodes back, she is a legal journalist who was banned from Twitter for threatening to murder the TikTok man.
As she so lovingly called him, she's back on Twitter. I'm not going to say Woodward and Bernstein who, but like this is impact journalism.
I am Rachel McAdams in spotlight.
Honestly, yeah, I think that's kind of a hotter look anyway. She's been freed from Twitter jail after our episode. Someone at Twitter reached out to her on LinkedIn, of all platforms, and was like, what's going on here? I think he had also seen the application she had sent in, which if you listen to the episode, you know that she sent in an application that was just her appeal.
To work at Twitter.
A job she does not want. But it worked. And we worked. So if nothing, you know that we have, you know, the juice to get someone unbanned from Twitter. Please don't get Twitter to test it out. And we are will not try not service. To get banned from Twitter.
This was a one-time deal. Our first tweet should probably not be a death threat, but you'll have to head over to our account at ICYMI_pod to find out for sure.
But we're not going to spend the whole episode talking about all the great content we're going to be filling our Twitter account with, because some more important things have been happening this week. For once, the internet is celebrating because that iconic movie, Shrek, is turning 20 years old.
I feel so old. Today on ICYMI, we're going to take you through the evolution of the internet's collective obsession with Shrek. Chances are good if you are listening to our podcast, you already have a vague or frankly incredibly detailed PhD level understanding of how much the internet has taken to Shrek over the last two decades. But we absolutely have to get into the green, I was going to say horned. They're not really horns. They're like little weird ears, right?
Yeah, because he pulls earwax at him at one point.
Ew, right, yeah.
Anyway, we're going to get into some more gross stuff during the course of this episode, but not just because we are brain broken, but because Shrek's storied internet history is honestly really important in understanding how the film was at the forefront of a merger between IRL culture, if you consider a movie where a dragon and a donkey procreate to be culture, which we at ICYMI certainly do.
I have so many questions, though. Just like biological, physiological. A question for another.
We can't answer those questions today, Madison. What we can answer is how Shrek managed to combine this very weird movie with the very weird thing that is the internet and turn it into this sort of Frankenstein art all its own. one that has only continued to mutate, like beautiful dragon donkey hybrid mutants that fly.
Wow, you really brought that back around.
I love a convoluted metaphor.
Love a forced metaphor.
But before we get into more forced metaphors, we have to go back in time.
To a darker time before Shrek. Okay, so Shrek premiered at Cannes Film Festival in 2001, which is just objectively funny because this is an animated movie, theoretically for children, about a ogre who lives in a swamp.
This movie also won the Academy Award in 2002 for Best Animated Feature, which was the first ever Oscar in that category, and it beat Monsters, Inc. But from the kind of very beginning, Shrek, when you think about the backstory of it, seems designed in a lab to become an internet phenomenon. It was this kind of anti-Disney movie poking fun at the eternal franchising of successful properties and these like overused tropes. It then became the very monster it was making fun of. But there's also, I don't know how many people know about the kind of development hell that Shrek was in for so long. It was, I think, started to be produced around like 1993, 1994. It eventually premiered in 2001.
Which animated movies take a long time to make, we should be clear. But this one was especially prolonged, protracted. Yeah.
Within DreamWorks Studios, it was known as the gulag because animators who failed while working on other projects, such as the absolute banger that is The Prince of Egypt, were often sent. Yeah, imagine going from that movie to being sent to work on Shrek. And the reassignment was known as being Shreked, which, if you know anything about the kind of Shrek memeology, that phrase in and of itself is very popular. So the movie premieres eventually after all of this kind of like stopping and starting and gulagging. And kids love it. Critics love it. Angsty teens love it. The movie is insanely popular to the point where like the sequel makes close to $1 billion worldwide. And so the movie and the franchise, at least for the first two movies, kind of combines all the most important elements you need for a meme, which is culture ubiquity, just like a whiff of sticking it to the man, even though the man is ultimately making $1 billion+ off of it. A kind of, I'm sorry to Shrek, ugliness, which we love in memes.
I really think you missed the whole point of this movie, man.
No, the point is that you accept your ugliness. That is the point. What are you talking about?
Oh, man. All right, we'll talk later.
And then funny words. Like, Shrek is objectively a funny word. And so you have all of these kind of combinations of things.
Okay, ogres are like onions.
They stink?
Yes. No.
Oh, they make you cry?
No.
Oh, you leave them out in the sun, they get all brown, start sprouting little white hairs.
No! Layers! Onions have layers. Ogres have layers. Onions have layers? You get it. We both have layers.
Do you remember seeing the first one in theaters?
No, the movie came out when I was 5, but I do remember how often I watched it as a kid. I also watched with my little brother, who was born like 9 years after me. And so it was this kind of like cross child thing that we both loved at the same time, which I really think kind of gets at the heart of like why Shrek is so popular. Because by the time my little brother was watching movies, kids' movies, I was kind of like too old for them, but I was fine with Shrek.
And as you mentioned, like Shrek just kept rolling out sequels until the sequels stopped being good or making money. It also got a Broadway musical in 2008. So that sort of Shrek, as it might have been, were it purely an entertainment phenomenon, that's honestly where the story begins. In 2009, DreamWorks launches a Shrek Facebook page. It no longer exists, but shout out to The Daily Dot, who several years ago archived a number of the posts. Keep in mind, 2009, so it's been nearly a decade, 8 years, since the movie came out. And the bit on the Facebook page was that Shrek himself would post little, like, notes to fans.
Which, okay, weird. But just remember that Shrek 2, which also slaps and I think made close to $1 billion, came out in 2004. One point I don't think either of us have made yet, the movie's soundtracks are fucking incredible.
Immaculate.
And again, are part of this kind of internet cultural legacy because the Shrek movies were kind of the first animated movies to use existing songs as the soundtrack instead of like an original score or original music. And there's this way in which the capturing of a specific mood with a song that already has an emotional resonance with the audience just reminds me of TikTok.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It also, another way to put it is that myself and a generation of children learned about Hallelujah as that sad song from the low point yeah. in Shrek.
Yes, exactly. Which is a meme in and of itself. So DreamWorks rides this wave to the very end. And they're clearly trying to figure out how to capitalize on this giant, unwieldy fandom that it could never have anticipated. And so they created a Facebook page. And that was maybe the closest they got to harnessing the power of the internet, which sprawls out beyond their control into very weird territories very, very quickly.
After the break, we're going to get into how all of, well, that has evolved into a meme smorgasbord we're still talking about decades later. Honestly, things are about to get weirder and darker, and just put in headphones. Do not listen to this around impressionable young children.
But first, a musical interlude.
I'm going to perform All Star.
Yes.
Somebody once told... No, I'm kidding.
The world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
We'll be back to get our show on and get paid in just a moment, though. Finger and a thumb in the shape of an L
on her forehead. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
And we are back. We left off in the magical year of 2009 with Shrek's Facebook page. That sentence makes me feel 75 years old.
Well, you did just tell me you were 5 when this movie came out. So, you know, karma.
You're right. What goes around comes around.
So what happens next?
Something that I forgot about, which is that in 2010, as they're promoting, I believe, Shrek Forever After, which will be the only time you mention that movie in this show because it does not exist. I don't acknowledge it. But as they're promoting this unnamed movie, DreamWorks and Paramount decides to let this kind of indie magazine do a photo spread involving Shrek. The magazine is called V-Man, and they really take a kind of creative approach to this spread, which is they pose Shrek and
I don't want to know this.
I'm so sorry. They pose Shrek and co, including like Puss in Boots and like Donkey, animals, let's keep that in mind, next to a bunch of models in these kind of suggestive poses, which really feels like a perhaps unintentional overlap with what would come to define the Shrek internet fandom. In fact, It seems so intentional that Paramount and DreamWorks Animation eventually told The Hollywood Reporter that they regretted allowing the magazine to feature characters from a family-friendly franchise in such a compromising position, which is deeply hilarious, but also describes how much Paramount and DreamWorks were not ready for what would come.
In 2012, we take a little bit of a turn when a website called ShrekChan officially launches. It's like a community-based image board is probably the best way to describe it, akin to, you know, 4chan, but ideally, I guess, with like more Shrek heads and fewer Nazis. So ShrekChan becomes this place where Shrek like takes on its own life. Ogres become sort of like saintly is maybe a good way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. There's this way in which internet communities align themselves with the kind of dark horse of a series. Ogres are misunderstood, but ultimately good. You know, like they have layers. And the only reason that people think they're evil is because people don't want to understand them, which is really the perfect kind of anti-hero for teens on the internet.
There's a lot of discussion about like the swamp where Shrek lives. Swamp becomes sort of a metaphor for a safe space. They're, you know, opposed to all things Farquaad, who is the villain in Shrek.
Knights, new plan. The one who kills the ogre will be named champion. How about him?
Yeah! Oh, hey, now come on.
I feel like we should also mention that there was there were made up characters that become part of this universe, namely Drek, who is Shrek's mortal enemy. And it's just Shrek, but he's blue.
The creativity of the internet knows no bounds. And unfortunately, it sometimes gives us things that we wish it did not. Case in point, the next milestone in the Shrek internet canon came in 2013.
The Shrektaceous era.
In 2013, over on Real 4chan, a copypasta known infamously as Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life emerges. And if you know about this, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And if you don't, I'm also sorry, because we're about to ruin whatever nice little bubble you've been living in.
We should mention a copypasta is an internet text meme that gets reshared and pasted over and over again. A good example is like if you've ever gotten a chain email, like if you think back to 2005, if you don't send this to 5 people, you'll have bad luck for that's a copypasta.
And this one is extremely not safe for work. And honestly, I'm just going to give like a big old trigger warning for literally everything.
Just TLDR in case you want out now. It involves child abuse, homophobia, a kid being sodomized by Shrek.
I hate this.
Remember when the people who invented the internet thought it was going to democratize the world?
This is not the democracy we needed.
We're not going to link this in the show notes. If you want to read it, you're going to have to put in the work to find it.
Somehow this text post gets turned into this extremely haunting animated video I've seen exactly once, but is seared into my brain for the rest of my life. So you would think in a normal world that this video and this copypasta would exist and people would immediately be like, ha ha ha, no. But no, it becomes this entire meme that people are sharing in the same way I think people shared like 2 Girls, 1 Cup. Also intensely disturbing.
Wow, this show is just foul today.
Yeah, honestly, I'm sorry. The Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life video becomes its own cottage industry in that there are just a shit ton of videos of people reacting to it, including one by none other than the Fine Brothers, who have this series of famous YouTubers reacting to viral videos. The one reacting to Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life came out in 2014 and features YouTubers like Tyler Oakley, Shane Dawson, and Joey Graceffa, which is a name I haven't heard in 27 years.
Drag cigarette. I haven't heard that name in 27 years. I hate to do this, but we need to play a clip.
I was only 9 years old. I loved Shrek so much. I had all the merchandise.
What is this?
Seen it.
I pray to Shrek every night before bed. Thanking him for the life I've been given. Shrek is
this
love.
This is so intense, we have to hold hands.
Shrek is life.
I love Shrek.
My dad hears me and calls me a f***. I knew he was just jealous of my devotion.
So during this video, it's like just YouTubers sitting in a room, kind of facing the camera, and they're looking at a laptop. And in the corner of the video, you can see a little cutout of the Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life video playing. So you can see what they're reacting to as they're reacting to it. And they're kind of just talking out loud as they're reacting to it. And you just kind of see the horror mounting in their faces.
Me on my hands and knees.
No. And at the very end of the video, they do a kind of like postmortem, like, how do you feel? And a lot of them are like, why did you do that to me? To which, you know, fair.
This video is kind of like off-brand Sims porn.
Yeah, I'm upset at that description, but it's not wrong.
It's accurate. In 2014, back to our timeline, Shrek Chan very abruptly closes down, much to the sadness and just despondence of some of its most loyal followers. Its creator said that at the time, spammers and shitposters, as well as the fact that the Shrek phenomenon has been butchered down to nothing, has made it hard for our community to survive. Which makes sense. Like, we are a podcast in 2021 talking about the 20th anniversary of Shrek and its history of memes, which is as good an indication as any that Shrek memes at this point have become too mainstream to actually be good memes, to be edgy, to be weird, to be out there.
So Shrek goes from being this kind of template for edgelord humor into being the kind of casual internet waters from which all memes are made, like SpongeBob or B-movie.
All this is to say the meming of Shrek did not end.
Yeah, the Shrek Chan chapter ends. And the next one is just, again, this kind of ubiquity where anywhere you turn on the internet, there are just Shrek memes. To the point that in 2018, 200 people collabed to make a YouTube recreation of Shrek the movie, and they called it Shrek Retold, which, great title.
Here's a little bit of Shrek Retold, which will sound familiar if you're familiar with Shrek, but also different.
Think it's in there?
All right, let's get it.
Whoa, hold on. You know what that thing could do to you?
Yeah, it'll grind your bones to make its bread.
Yes, well, actually, that would be a giant.
Now, it's animated in all these different styles because 200 people spent all this time making a spreadsheet overanalyzing every scene to get in all the same cuts and actions.
Back, beast, I warn ya!
That sounds weird. Like, that weird description sounds like it should still be in this category of, like, weird, deep internet memeing. But there's this great Vice piece about the evolution and history of Shrek memes that we'll link in the show notes that came out this week. And the piece mentioned something that I found really fascinating, was that a bunch of the people who made Shrek Retold actually had to go watch Shrek for the first time in order to make their segments. Because being a Shrek fan, being into Shrek memes is like fully divorced from actually the movie itself at this point.
Yeah, it's like if you haven't seen Shrek, you can probably watch the movie and have seen perhaps 75% of the movie just through GIFs or stills or various out of context memes. Because again, Shrek is just part of, you know, the green internet waters that we're all swimming in at this point.
You might say we've reached the Shrekularity.
I don't want to say it.
The fact that we all, culture reporters, internet reporters, the fact that we're all still talking about Shrek in 2021 is sort of indicative of both its formativeness and its ubiquity at this point. Shrek is no longer weird. Shrek is for everyone.
I mean, I don't think anything quite proves how egalitarian this movie is than the fact that last year, a man reenacted the entirety of Shrek 2 on a live stream while people donated to racial justice organizations. He made $12,000.
Wait, really?
Yes. Yes.
I'm impressed.
I am also impressed.
I simply need to hear some of this now.
Two can be as bad as one. Donkey? Shrek! Fiona! Aren't you two a sight for sore eyes? Give us a hug, Shrek, you old love machine.
Was that man just doing Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was trying. I mean, the amazing thing about this live stream, besides the fact that like almost 700,000 people watched it, is that he's not even in costume. Like, he's just in his room, in his home, wearing this like orange t-shirt with the camera kind of positioned in what I call the like grandma position, where it's like under your chin and like
the nose
up.
Shot.
Yeah. So it's like as low budget as you could possibly get. And yet it worked to the tune of like $12,000.
But also a good summation of what Shrek has become.
We're always happy to see you, Donkey. But Fiona and I are married now.
Lest you believe it's just Rachel and I screaming into a void about Shrek and trying to convince you that a thing is a thing, we're going to link to a sort of Shrek syllabus in the show notes of a couple of pieces of Shrek anniversary content we have loved this week, that if you're looking for more green, ogre-y, swampy, oniony goodness, that's where they're at. I guess there's only one thing left to say, Rachel.
Please don't say it.
You know what it is.
Oh,
you know what
God,
it is?
I do.
Shrek is love. Shrek is life.
My whole body just clenched.
That is so dirty in context, Rachel.
Oh!
Okay, and that's the show.
Jesus Christ. All right, that's the show. I'm going to go take a shower. We'll be back in your feed on Wednesday, so please subscribe for free. And if you can, leave a rating and a review in Apple Podcasts, unless you're going to say something mean, in which don't do it. And follow us on our new Twitter account. Again, we're at ICYMI_pod. We'll be shitposting to the end of the earth on there. And you can also DM us your questions. And you can always, always drop us a note at ICYMI@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader. Our supervising producer is Derek John. Forrest Wickman is Slate's culture editor, and Gabe Roth is editorial director of audio. Stay out of me swamp, and see you online.
Or not.
Donkey!
Donkey!
All right, that's it.
Do you ever feel like there's nothing new in the news? You know there are urgent things happening in the world around you, but all you hear is noise. That's why we made What Next. Our goal is to tell you the stories you haven't heard before, or maybe a different side to the story you thought you already knew all about. I'm Mary Harris, the host of What Next, and I love my job because it helps me cut through the noise of the news. And then I get to bring it to you. Together, we can figure out what next.